The Mission Trail is on the air. It is my happy privilege to introduce to you the Mission Trail with your speaker, Brother Willie C. Murphy of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Please pray that his ministry may be a blessing to all who hear him. And let us remember the words of the Master as recorded in John 4 and 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
They're perishing now, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
And now, here is Brother Murphy.
Thank you, Brother Lashley. And a cheerful greeting to each and every listener of the Mission Trail broadcast. We're certainly happy to be coming your way once again with a message from the Word of God. Let us pick up where we left off on the last broadcast, dealing with deceit. But first, this text again from Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This, of course, would be referring to the heart of man in a natural or depraved condition. You know, folks need their hearts to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. Otherwise, they're in a bad condition. Now, Satan uses this method of deceit and works through almost anyone he can to further his cause. Sometimes, of course, he works through criminals, bank robbers and gamblers, and then on the other hand, he works through some folks which are considered a little higher class than this, even infiltrating into the ranks of preachers who are supposed to speak the Word of God and of truth and righteousness. Would you like to have some scripture for this? Then listen to these verses, beginning in 2 Corinthians 11:13. But such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Here's what I invite you to do. Don't take what I say just because I tell you a certain thing is true. But take the Bible. Search out the scriptures and see for yourself if you're being told the truth. If the preacher's instructions, and that doesn't matter who the preacher is, will not measure up to the Word of God, then that preacher's advice isn't worth accepting. Then sometimes it is the people themselves who want the preachers to preach to them smooth things. Did you ever know this to happen? Listen to this verse from Isaiah 30:10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Now some preachers will do that, especially when they know that that's what the people want them to do. If it works to their advantage to cover up the truth, then they will use deceit to do it. But one who has a real love for God and for the welfare of your souls will be constrained to speak the truth and not use deceit in doing so. And after all, wouldn't you rather someone would be honest with you? Let me give you Paul's testimony here from 2 Corinthians 4th chapter and beginning with verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Notice a few of the evils of deceit. 1. It hinders the knowledge of God. Jeremiah 9:6 says, "Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord." So some folks just don't know the Lord because of this deceit which stands in their way. 2. It keeps men from turning to God. Jeremiah 8:5, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit, they refuse to know me." In other words, these people just kept backsliding more and more and continually, and yet they were holding to their deceit. 3. It leads to pride and oppression, and it seems that this prophet Jeremiah was filled with warnings concerning deceit. In Jeremiah 5:27, I quote, "As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich." Then down in verses 30 and 31, we find these words, "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?" Wouldn't that be a sad condition? 4. It leads men to indulge in lies. That is, putting it rather strong. But listen to this verse from Proverbs 14:25. "A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." So you see, these are the words from the Scriptures. There are other things which could be mentioned here, but perhaps this is sufficient to show that the old adage or proverb is certainly true which says, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." That certainly bears out the point in this case. One deceitful thing calls for another to cover up the evidence which might be found regarding the first. Listen to this. "How readest thou?" It is one thing to read the Bible through, another thing to read, to learn, and do. It is one thing to read it with delight, and quite another thing to read it right. Some read it with design to learn to read, but to the subject pay little heed. Some read it as their duty once a week, but no instruction from the Bible seek. While others read it with but little care, with no regard to how they read or where. Some read it as a history to know how people lived 3,000 years ago. Some read to bring themselves into repute by showing others how they can dispute. While others read because their neighbors do, to see how long 'twill take to read it through. Some read it for the wonders that are there, how David killed a lion and a bear. While others read it with uncommon care, but all to find some contradiction there. Some read as though it did not speak to them, but to the people at Jerusalem. One reads it as a book of mysteries and won't believe the very thing he sees. One reads with father's specs upon his head and sees the thing just as his father did. Another reads through Campbell or through Scott and thinks it means exactly what they thought. Some read to wrangle for their creed, hence understand but little what they need. For every doctrine in the book they bend to make it suit that all-important end. Some people read, as I have often thought, to teach the Bible instead of being taught. And some there are who read it out of spite. I fear there are but few who read it right. So many people in these latter days have read the Bible in so many ways that few can tell which system is the best, for every party contradicts the rest. But read it prayerfully, and you will see, though men do contradict, God's words agree. For what the early Bible prophets wrote, we find that Christ and his apostles quote, "So, trust no creed that trembles or offends at any word the blessed Bible sends." Let us pray. Our Father, unto thee our hearts are open and manifest. There's no covering or hiding or running away from God. We humble ourselves at the foot of the cross, and in the words of the psalmist we say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Bless every listener of the broadcast, and to thee we will give the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them every one. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling end of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the
Friends, until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy speaking for all of us at the Mission Trail and saying, may God's richest blessings be with each of you until we meet again, and a very cheerful goodbye.